Over the last few weeks, we've been working our way through Luke 6 together. And as we've done so, we've heard how Jesus opened up what we've called a discipleship training school. He's gathered his followers around him and he said, "This is what I want you to do as my followers. This is what I expect of you." Some of the things that Jesus wants his disciples to do might be unexpected to us and quite controversial or different to how we would normally live our lives. But ultimately, Jesus has been teaching us that following him means that we step into a very different way of living. So if you remember, over the last few weeks, we've looked at how Jesus invites us to join his gang, to be one of his apostles. But to do so, or as we do so, Jesus' gang operates and acts in a different way to the world around it. Jesus' disciples are a group of people who have a heart for justice and for the kingdom values that Jesus wants to see extend throughout the world. They love even when it hurts. They do not judge. They treat others as they would expect to be treated themselves. Last week, we jumped ahead to Jesus' sermon, to the end of Jesus' sermon on the plains in Luke 6, and Catherine helped us all to explore Jesus' challenge that we should build our lives on him as a firm foundation, that as we build our lives on Jesus, no matter what storms might come against us, we can stand firm in him. And then this morning, we're going to, in a moment, look at verses 45 of Luke 6 as we draw this series to a close. But before we go any further, let's pray as we look at God's word together this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word, for all the truth that is contained within it, for the way in which it reveals who you are. And also invites us to go on a journey of following and worshipping you as your disciples. And so, Lord, as we come to look at this passage together now, would you be speaking to us today? Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, that we might know more of the wonder of who you are and seek to follow you as your disciples this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have got your Bibles with you and would like to turn to Luke chapter 6, we'll be starting at verse 43, and the passage will also be up on the screen if you'd like to follow along there as well. So this is Jesus teaching his disciples, and he says this: "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out from the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This morning, as we look at this passage together, I want to start with a confession. That's got you all listening, hasn't it? The minister's going to confess. What's he done? What's he been up to? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was on my day off, and after a slow start, we got the kids out the door and off to school, and I decided that with my day off, I wanted to spend the time going off for a longer run than I would usually go for. So I got ready and made myself ready to head off for my run, and made my way out the door and down the street, wowing everyone of my athletic ability as I made my way out the door for my morning run. I noticed none of you are laughing. I'll take that as a good sign. As I was running down the street, amazing everyone with my athletic ability, I saw a friend coming the other way, returning from the school run. And as I was running up, I had one of those moments where I caught them and I was like, I'm not sure if they're upset or whether they've just got something in their eye. So we got a bit closer, and as we got a bit closer, I managed to save them enough breath to be able to say good morning to my friend. And she didn't see me coming the other way, and we had this awkward exchange on the street as I carried on jogging by, where I couldn't quite tell whether she was upset or not. Now, whilst I was on my run, I felt a little bit bad about this. Because what happened if my friend had genuinely been upset? Now, I claim to be a church leader. I'm meant to be someone who's quite caring and considerate of other people. And I didn't just walk by on the other side of the road like they do in the story of the Good Samaritan. I'd just run by on the same side of the road. What kind of person am I? I'm a horrible person, clearly. So, convicted of my guilt and shame, I got home from my run and I sent my friend a message apologising and checking that she was okay. And it turned out she was completely fine. She did just have something in her eye, but she was really touched and really appreciated the fact that I'd made up for my running by her in my desire to go for a long run and actually checked up on her. Today we are going to talk about integrity, and people are longing for integrity in our world. They are not just interested in what they see people doing around them, but they also want to know that people have the integrity to be that person when no one else is looking. I'm sure you can all think of people in recent times who might have failed this integrity test that the world is longing to see. We've seen celebrities fall foul of this test. Dropping the public persona to reveal that life behind the cameras isn't necessarily all that people thought it could or should be. Integrity matters. It matters to the world, but it also really matters to Jesus. And that's the theme that Jesus is talking about in this passage this morning. Integrity is being able to back up what you say with what you do. And let's be honest, all of us struggle with that in some way, shape, or form. Whether we like it or not, as we go throughout our lives, our actions don't always back up what we say. But if we are to be followers of Jesus, he expects us to be people of integrity. He doesn't want disciples who say one thing and then go off and do something else. He wants people who follow him and put what he says into practice in their lives. I really like the Message translation of this passage that really simplifies this little riddle down and to my mind makes it nice and easy to understand. The Message says this: you must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. This is Jesus talking about integrity, knowing who you are and letting that identity drive every aspect of your life. The American author John MacDonald talks about integrity like this. He said, integrity is not a conditional word. It doesn't blow in the wind or change with the weather. It is your inner image of yourself. And if you look in there and see a man who won't cheat, then you know he never will. Jesus was a man who deeply valued and embodied integrity. The opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. And if you read through the Bible, and particularly the Gospels, you won't get very far without hearing Jesus calling out hypocrites for their hypocrisy. Few people did Jesus challenge and rebuke more firmly than those who lacked integrity. If you remember back in Luke 5, Jesus had been regularly clashing with the religious leaders of the day. And one of the accusations that he often threw at those religious leaders was that of hypocrisy, that their words and what they said didn't match what they did, that they lacked integrity. Listen to Jesus speak about these religious leaders in Matthew 23, which illustrates just how cutting he could be. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." As we follow Jesus, I wonder how might we pursue integrity as we follow him. What might we focus, or where might we focus on the outside appearance of our lives, concerned about what people might think of us, that we neglect that inner truth of who we really are? Where might our words not be backed up by our thoughts and our actions? Who are you when no one else is looking? When everything else is stripped away, what does God see in our hearts and in our lives? Integrity matters. It matters in our mission to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. But even more importantly, integrity is what Jesus expects of us as we follow him. And so let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's be people of integrity, not so worried about the outside of the cup, but worried about the inside of the cup as we follow Jesus. As Jesus shared this riddle with his disciples, he wanted to show us how who we are is revealed in our lives. That each one of us produces that which we are. So just as an apple tree can't produce grapes, the fruit of our lives will be an outworking of the person that we are. There's an often quoted saying that says that hurt people hurt people. That when we are carrying pain and hurt in our lives, it's so easy for that hurt and pain from us to be transposed onto other people around us. To look at the same truth the other way, when we live our lives well, we bring out the best in people. We are a blessing to those that we come into contact with. Or as Jesus says it in this passage, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. And so the question that Jesus asks us to consider is that of integrity, of self-awareness. What and who we are will be revealed to those around us by the fruit that we produce in our lives. So this passage, to me, my mind, leads us to ask two questions. The first question is, what are you producing? What is the fruit of your life? This week, the people who've come into contact with you, what have they come away experiencing? What did they encounter through you as you revealed your and blessed them with the fruit of your life? Do we like the fruit that we are producing? Is that fruit consistent with who Jesus has called us to be as one of his disciples? Or might our fruit demonstrate areas in our lives where we need Jesus to work in our lives some more? And this then leads us on to the second question that will ultimately shape the first question. And that question is, what are you rooting your life and your identity in? A good tree produces good fruit. All of us will recognize the areas of our lives where we don't get it right. Where I was so preoccupied with going for a run that I ran past a friend who might have been upset. Not one of us is perfect. Each one of us carries our own hurts, our own burdens, our own flaws. But the good news of the Christian faith is that we are not just defined by who we were, by the mistakes of our lives, but instead we are defined by who we are in Christ. Paul puts it this way. He says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This morning, could it be that we need to re-embrace this new identity that we find, this new creation that we are in Jesus? Could it be that we need to let go of the old me and instead pick up the new me that is found in Jesus? As I step out of that old me, that bad fruit that is all linked to it no longer grows in my life. And instead, as I pick up the new me that I am in Jesus, the new good fruit of God starts to grow and develop within me instead. We can't change the fruit of our lives without first getting deeper and changing our identity. And as we step into Jesus' gang, as we step into his group of disciples and choose to follow him, not just only do we say, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you, but we actually step into a new identity. No longer are we defined by our past. No longer are we defined by our mistakes or our burdens or our hurts. But instead, we are a new creation. We are children of the living God. We are members of Jesus' new tribe, a community of people not living their own way, but living their lives for him. As we embrace this new identity, it transforms the fruit that we produce within our lives. And so this morning, as we look at Jesus' unexpected call to follow him, can I encourage us all to embrace this new identity that we can all find in him, that the old has gone, the new has come. We have a new identity in Jesus. And as we embrace that new identity, can I encourage us all to let the fruits of that new identity grow and develop within us, that as we lay our old selves down, we might pick up our new identity in Jesus instead. To embrace this new identity and to step into the new life that we find in Jesus, there is only one place where we can start, and that is in our hearts. Earlier we heard Jesus rebuking the Pharisees and claiming that the outside of the cup was nice and clean and shiny, but actually in the inside was quite a different matter. It was filthy and needed a good old clean. We can put on a good exterior. We can try and be kind. We can try and be loving. We can try and not be judgmental as we follow Jesus. But if our hearts are not right, if our hearts are not in it, then no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, our real heart will always be revealed. The good news is that we don't need to do any of this heart work on our own. In fact, the good news is that all this heart work has already been taken care of for us. Let me listen, I'll read these words of 1 John to you, from 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to be without sin and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How do we change our hearts? Well, the first way we can make a difference in our hearts and clean the inside of our cups, that we might be people of integrity, is to recognize that we need help. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. John tells us that we all need a heart transformation. Jesus changes and transforms our hearts. But to start that process, we first need to recognize that we need to be changed. That not everything within us is as God wants it to be. We need to recognize that I'm selfish. We need to recognize that I am greedy, that I am proud, that I am angry, that I am holding on to unforgiveness or whatever it might be. To be people of integrity, we first need to recognize our need for Jesus. We need to own our sinfulness, own our shortcomings, and recognize that there is room for God to work in our lives. Having recognized our need for Jesus, the next step is to turn to him, to confess our sins, to own up to the space where there is need, where there is room for him, and then to ask him to come and help us. And that's it. That's all we need to do to see our hearts changed and transformed, because once we do that, Jesus comes and takes over. Once we recognize our need for Jesus, once we ask him to forgive us, he takes over, and John tells us that he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins, and here's the key phrase that I want us to hear this morning, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Even the hardest, most complex heart are people, the most damaged and complex hearts can be transformed by Jesus. He is able to purify us of all unrighteousness, to clean and restore not just the outside of the cup, but the inside of our hearts. Today it's Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we will be celebrating together. Why will we be celebrating? Well, yes, Jesus died and rose again, but there's a significance in Jesus' death and resurrection, and that is that we have been purified from all unrighteousness. He took the burden of our sin, our shame upon the cross, took it away and defeated it, and then rose again, victorious over all things that we might have life and life in all its fullness. And so this morning, where do you need to receive the forgiveness, the purification that Jesus offers to us all, that our hearts might be transformed? Where might your heart be hard? Where might you be hiding in the depths, or what might you be hiding in the depths of your heart? This morning, can I invite you to open your heart to Jesus, to show him all that you are holding deep inside? Can I encourage you to invite him to come and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness? And as you do so, know that he is good, that he is faithful, and that he is able to purify and transform all of our lives. As Jesus transforms our lives, the fruit that we produce then starts to change. As our identity changes, as our hearts change, so does that the way that we live. As we open our hearts and follow Jesus with integrity, not only does Jesus purify and transform our hearts, but he also leaves his Spirit with us. And as the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts, the fruit of his Spirit starts to grow, start to receive as we step into being people of integrity who follow Jesus. Galatians 5 tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What does a Christian with integrity look like? It looks like that. These fruits are the hallmark of authentic discipleship and integrity. These are the fruits that Jesus longs to see grow and flourish within our lives as we live our lives for him. But it all starts with integrity. It starts with being willing to invite Jesus into our hearts. If we are to be disciples of Jesus, not only must we follow him, but we also need to be people of integrity. A good man, Jesus says, brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. What's in your heart this morning? This morning, can I encourage us all to open our hearts that the goodness of Jesus might flow in and flow out of our hearts as we follow him with integrity this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to be people who follow you, not just with nice words, but with integrity. And integrity, we've heard, starts with opening our hearts to you. And so, Lord, this morning, as we hear your word, as we worship you and come together as your people, we once again open our hearts to you. We open our hearts that we might receive the new identity that we all have in Jesus. We receive that truth that the old me has gone and the new me is here. And we step into that wonderful new identity that we have in you. Lord, this morning we confess our need for Jesus. We recognize those areas where we have sinned, those areas where we fall short of what you would expect of us. And Lord, we once again turn to you for help. And Lord, we invite you in that you might cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you today and pray that you would come and purify our hearts, not only that we might be people of integrity, but that we might live the life that you have called us to live as we follow you as your disciples, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.